Well, some anger there. Now some celebration. In China, the country's biggest annual holiday is Monday. The Lunar New Year is widely seen as the biggest collective movement of people in the world every year. This week, up to 100,000 people were stranded at a railway station in southern China when bad weather delayed the trains. NPR correspondent Anthony Kuhn is in Beijing. And Anthony, I just looked at a picture of a train station in China, and I think my heart almost exploded. This is not just a busy travel day. This is mass migration.
That's right, a mass movement of humanity. But actually, this year, there are slightly fewer travelers. The Chinese government says only 2.9 billion trips will be made over the holiday, and that's down from 3.6 billion last year. And the reason for this is that China's economy is slowing down. And so a lot of people have either left the cities to go back to the countryside because there's no work to do, or they go home for the holidays and they stay there because there's no job to return to. But you got to remember that for a lot of people, you know, this is the only holiday they take all year long. Mm. And we're talking about a holiday which is deeply rooted in Chinese culture, which is based on agriculture. And they go by a lunar calendar, the phases of the moon that tells them when to plant and harvest.
And is that what they do when they go home? They work in the fields with their family?
No, they go home to celebrate. I mean, China now has about 200 million migrant workers who leave the countryside to go work in the cities, and they all go back at the same time, and that's why there's this crush. Now, if you're a middle-class person in China, you can take a bullet train, you can take an airplane. But if you're a migrant worker, that's probably a bit too pricey. You'll have to take a regular train, and it, you know, if you've ever felt like you're in steerage, in economy class in an airplane, you should be on a Chinese train with a standing room only ticket for a 24 or 48-hour voyage. I mean, you got people sleeping on the floor, under the seats, you got them in the bathroom, you got them slumped over luggage between the cars. It's a very harrowing experience, but eventually people get where they're going.
Wow. So 2016, the year of the monkey. By the way, the monkey is one of the unluckiest signs in the Chinese zodiac. Do people take that seriously, Anthony, at a time when the Chinese economy is sputtering along, as you remind us, and pulling down global markets?
Well, some people think it's unlucky, but also in Chinese culture, people see monkeys as cute and clever and extremely mischievous. And conventional wisdom has it that every family wants to have a monkey baby. Everyone's going to get busy making monkey babies. They prefer them to babies born in the year of the goat, which was last year.
Really?
There's no statistic evidence to support that preference, but it's a nice concept.
Okay, so this holiday sounds like it's a pretty good time then, but food is also on the agenda, right? I mean, there's lucky food for the Chinese New Year. You're supposed to eat long noodles and a whole fish. There's also unlucky food. You're not supposed to eat porridge. What are you eating?
Well, you know, it's a different food in every part of the country. The holiday is grouped around these symbolic ritual activities in the family. The first thing you do is to get a haircut. You clean your home top to bottom until it's spotless. You hang lanterns and calligraphic inscriptions in your doorway. And there is a different special food on each day of the holiday. In North China, in Beijing here, people eat dumplings on the first day, noodles on the second. And this whole festival goes on for 2 weeks, from the first new moon to the first full moon of the Lunar New Year. These traditions have gotten a bit weaker in the cities, and many middle-class residents take the opportunity to travel overseas. But in the countryside, these traditions die really hard, and there's a real feeling of deeply rooted customs there.
And where you are in Beijing, I imagine, is quite a bit quieter than it usually is.
That's right. The traffic on the street has gone from deafening to almost so you can hear a pin drop. I'm exaggerating a little bit. When I say really quiet, I mean, you know, pretty crowded by Western standards. But for a Chinese city, it's emptied out fast.
Yeah, it's a break for you, too. NPR's Anthony Kuhn is in Beijing. Anthony, thank you.
My pleasure.